You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
You're listening to the R1 News at 1. I'm your host Jemima and I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Isla.
Today on the show, we'll also be having some Olympic sport updates by Sam Somerville in Sports Sweep, and as well as that, we've got Isla's updates on STEM news. We'll be back with the bulletin very soon, but first up, we've got Leisure with Nobody featuring Goldlink on Radio 1.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, the 6th of August. I'm Isla.
And I'm Jemima. In national news, yesterday a 200-person strong hekoi led by Ngā Puhi to Parliament opposed the repeal of Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, RNZ reports. Section 7AA legally binds Oranga Tamariki to improve and report on outcomes for Māori in care and obligates them to honour te tiriti. The hekoi, which many travelled from Northland to attend, coincides with the meeting of the Select Committee to hear submissions on the removal of the legislation. Speaking to RNZ, Ngā Puhi Iwi Social Services Chief Executive, Dr. Moana Iruera, said that although Iwi, Ngā Puhi specifically, have long-standing relationships with Oranga Tamariki, the repeal could allow them to pick and choose to continue relationships with Iwi, and warned that repeal would encourage ongoing abuse of Māori in state care. This follows closely to the release of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse and Care report that found Māori were disproportionately affected and overrepresented in cases of abuse and neglect in state and faith-based institutions. The report found Māori were the majority of the at least 200,000 people abused in state care and identified the isolation from whakapapa, whānau, iwi and hapū as forms of abuse. Children's Minister Karen Shaw implied 7AA places iwi, whānau and hapū as the first consideration when considering a child's well-being. However, Dr. Iruera says whakapapa was never prioritised over the safety of tamariki and the repeal would only destroy positive advances iwi have managed to make because of it. Last week, Ngā Puhi leaders also walked out of a meeting with Prime Minister Christopher Luxon at the National Iwi Chairs Forum. Chair Mana Tahere said the delegation would not sit in a room in silence with a government it said was running roughshod over Māori, citing issues like Māori wards, changes to the Oranga Tamariki Act, moves to overturn the seabed and foreshore judgment, and the forthcoming Treaty Principles Bill.
On the 20th and the 24th of August, there will be more than 2,400 ambulance officers going on strike. Members of the First Union and the New Zealand Ambulance Association have expressed grievances towards the failure of St. John to offer a pay rise, along with the government's inability to engage in action. First Union is a union that fights for the rights of all workers from various industries in New Zealand, like retail, finance, transport, logistics, manufacturing, and ambulance. The union is not-for-profit, and resources within the group are allocated democratically, with support going towards legal support, advocacy and employment, and ACC-related matters, along with other circumstances that can give power to workers. First Union National Ambulance Coordinator Faye McCann claims that some ambulance officers are not even paid the living wage. In New Zealand, the ambulances are run under St. John Ambulance Services. St. John is a charitable organization that gains approximately 80% of their funding through contracts with the Ministry of Health and ACC, with the majority of these costs going towards ambulance services. Other services that St. John provides are first aid training courses, first aid kits and supplies, and their call center. In Aotearoa news, nurses for Access Community Healthcare were protesting yesterday for wage increases. Access Community Health provides in-home support through nursing, personal care, rehabilitation, social support, and household assistance. On their website, they claim that individualized funding and personal budgets are supported by the Ministry of Health. Resources for Access Community Healthcare have been under stress recently due to nurses moving away from the group to work in Health New Zealand itself. Reasons for this could include pay, time, and working conditions.
This morning, people gathered at the Peace Pole at Otago Museum Reserve to commemorate Hiroshima Day. The event was organised by Te Ao Oronga Maraeroa National Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies and Dunedin Quakers. The event was opened by Taiko Drumming by O Taiko, a poetry reading of Hone Tufare's No Ordinary Son and speeches from Yasuda High School students from Hiroshima, amnesty groups and a representative from Otago Girls High School. At 11:15, there was a silent reflection at the time the bomb was dropped, and the event concluded with the bringing of paper cranes to the Peace Pole and the International Prayer for Peace. Today marks 79 years since the US dropped atomic bombs on Japan's cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
In international news, following disputes from last week on the South China Sea, the Philippines and Germany on Sunday have signed a defense cooperation agreement. Under this agreement, Germany and the Philippines will now have a stronger relationship between their armed forces, resulting in a modernization in the Philippine military and boosting in external defense. The proposed deal also allows improved joint training, potential for weapon sale, and security information. Representatives from both countries in a joint statement discussed the protection of trade routes through the prevention of rapidly advancing expansions. Carlos Yulo also made history recently by becoming the first Filipino man to win gold in artistic gymnastic vault and floor. Yulo is the first Filipino to score two goals during a single Olympics. President Ferdinand Marcos even extended his own congratulations. In response to his achievements, many private companies have extended gifts towards the athlete that include, but are not limited to, housing units, free buffets, and free doctor consultations. There have also been campaigns and ambassador contracts extended to him as well. Restaurants around the country have also created short campaigns where individuals sharing the same name as Carlos could get a free meal.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Tuesday, 6th of August. Today's bulletin was written by Isla Taring and Jemima Lorimer and read to you by Isla Taring and Jemima Lorimer.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
Next up, we have the song Sunset Surreal by Cannonsbury. Hi, welcome back to the R1 News at 1. Up next is Sam Somerville's Sports Sweep.
This is Radio 1 News. I'm Sam Somerville, hosting your Sports Sweep for the 6th of August. In Olympic news, the Kiwis are finally up and flying at the Games, earning 7 medals over the last week. Our first medal came in the form of gold from the women's sevens, who managed to beat Canada 19-12 in the final. That match marked Portia Woodman's last international sevens game as she looks to move to rugby league in 2025. Woodman recently became the first woman to score 250 tries in the sevens series. Our next medal was a silver from Hayden Wild in the triathlon, with him narrowly missing out on gold. The Kiwi put on an impressive display in the running segment of the triathlon, coming from near the back of the best to storm into the lead for the most part of the final third. Unfortunately for Wild, it wasn't meant to be, but after winning both bronze and silver in the last two Olympics, his sights will surely be set on gold for 2028.
I was running pretty slow in the last K. I was pretty tired. I don't think I was prepared for the heat. We were meant to be racing at 8 a.m, so I didn't really put too much heat preparation into this. So, yeah, I think I really suffered in the last few kilometres with the heat and did all I could to try and get to the finish line. And my coach and I, our plan was to run to 9.5K, and if we had a gap, we'd be safe. But the gap, yeah, obviously was closed pretty quick and just didn't have enough of the tank to finish it off.
The Kiwis put on a show in rowing, with 4 of our 7 medals coming from the sport. We kicked off with a gold from our women's double sculls team, Brooke Francis and Lucy Spores, quickly followed by a bronze from our women's 4, containing Jack Growler, Davina Waddy, Phoebe Spoos and Kerry Williams. The day was topped off with a silver from the men's 4, containing Tom Murray, Matt McDonald, Ollie McLean and Logan Ulrich, completing the set for New Zealand. 2 days later, Emma Twigg added to the rowing collection in the single scull, chasing down the Dutch Caroline Floren for gold and narrowly missing out on the top spot. Our final medal was also silver and came from the men's 49er sailing team consisting of Isaac McCarty and William McKenzie. We currently sit 15th on the medal table. The men's 100-metre sprint final on Monday morning ended in dramatic fashion, with it being the first ever final to have all 9 runners record a sub-10-second time. The top six runners were separated by 7 one-hundredths of a second, with the top two being separated by 5 one-thousandths of a second. Noah Lyles came out victorious with a time of 9.79 seconds, also recording his personal best. Lyles managed to back up his infamous statement towards the NBA, securing his position as the best of the best.
You know, the thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA Finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States?
British swimmer Adam Peaty has questioned China's men's 100-metre medley relay race win among doping allegations. He stated, "There's no point in winning if you're not winning fair." Two of the four medalists were among swimmers who reportedly returned positive doping tests prior to the Tokyo Olympics. However, they were not banned as the China Anti-Doping Agency determined that they had unintentionally ingested the substance due to contamination. I'm Sam Somerville, and that was your sports sweep for the 6th of August, Radio 1.
That was Sam Somerville's sports sweep for this week. There have been a few developments with Olympic news as well overnight that he couldn't add in there, but I'm here to tell you them now. So, Finn Butcher won the first gold ever in the Olympic kayak cross, and the New Zealand women's sprint team of Shane Fulton, Elise Andrews, Rebecca Petch have won silver in the track cycling. As well as that, all of Aotearoa's women pole vaulters have also qualified for the pole vaulting final on Thursday. So it's super exciting. Super exciting time for Olympic news. Next up for you, we've got Coco Solid with Slow Torture, and following that, we'll have Isla's STEM news as well. Keep it locked to R1 News at 1. That was A Deep Breath by Pickle Darling on the R1 News at 1. It is now time for Isla's STEM News segment.
Hi there, this is Isla. Today's going to be just covering over a brief view of the basic applications of coffee and caffeine in a bunch of small industries, mainly medical. For those of you who don't know, coffee is a mild stimulant that acts on the central nervous system. While caffeine enters the body, it is widely distributed throughout body tissues and passes through biological membranes. The time it takes for half the coffee to be absorbed in the body is 3 to 5 hours, with the absorption rate increasing from 30 to 50% through the use of nicotine. However, its effects on the body, felt by individuals, can be experienced 20 minutes from consumption. It does this through blocking adenosine receptors, specifically A1 and A2, with both of these receptors in the brain being responsible for the regulation of neurotransmitters. Inhibition of these techniques mean that the neural control of adenosine is suppressed. While the adenosine activity is suppressed, caffeine is able to increase nerve activity, which results in the jitters. By blocking adenosine receptors, it also prevents the formation of melatonin, a hormone that helps with the regulation of the circadian rhythm. These physiological effects of caffeine are important. However, the body does have the capability to develop a resistance. One study from the University of California found that high caffeine consumption, 6 to 11 cups of coffee per day, resulted in the body developing a tolerance, although the effects were not fully neutralized. Tolerance, however, is not always a good thing. A review article published last year titled "Caffeine: Essentials for Anesthesiologists, a Narrative Review," outlines the use of caffeine as the patient wakes up from an anesthetic. There is currently a lack of research of the use of caffeine in medicinal applications. However, the article does a brilliant job outlining the pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, and the clinical application of caffeine in modern anesthetic practices while using the current evidence in the field. Caffeine in the medical field has also been used recently by individuals with ADHD as an alternative form of treatment to ED. The symptoms of ADHD due to the difficulty in getting treatment. One article published this year named "Using Caffeine as a Chemical Means to Induce Flow States" by Nicholas Raich covers caffeine as a flow inducer through the upregulation of dopamine, protection against dopaminergic neurons, increases norepinephrine fine secretion, the neurotransmitter responsible for alertness, and a variety of other factors.
Cool. Thank you for the STEM news today, Isla. This today, I think, has just generally made me really want a coffee as well. So I think, I mean, that brings us to the end of the news show, but that is definitely my plan to round out the news show for today. How about yourself? Are you a coffee drinker?
Yeah, I have like an espresso machine and a coffee grinder back in my hall.
It's the way to be. I feel like it's the only way to get through uni. I am impressed by people who also don't drink coffee at our age. It's kind of amazing. But this has been the R1 News for Tuesday the 6th of August. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Jemima.
And I'm Isla.
And the next song we've got for you is the Ruby Suns with Kingfisher Call Me. But you can always catch up on the R1 News wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts. Or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.